You're listening to the Women Inspiring Women podcast. Each week, network marketing professional and mom-turned-entrepreneur Melanie Mitro gives you her tried-and-true tips for building a business from your kitchen table. This self-made millionaire went from a stay-at-home mom to the top of a network marketing business in just 3 years. She built an online health and fitness business from the ground up while raising babies and juggling being a mom and wife. Now she wants to help you become the boss of your own life. For blog posts, business tips, and more, check out her website at melaniemitro.com. Now let's get to the show. Here's your host, Melanie Mitro.
Well, hey, everybody. It is Melanie Mitro, and I am the host of the Women Inspiring Women podcast, and we're back this week for an exciting episode. I have to tell you a little story about how I found today's guest. I'm actually not sure how I found her. She just showed up, I think, in my Explore page or as a suggested person on Instagram, and I immediately went down the rabbit hole of her content because she talks about the business opportunity. She leads with the business opportunity, and that's the way that I built my business, was really leading with the opportunity and wanting to be known as a business mentor. And I just find that most people, they get nervous about that, or they feel like, oh my gosh, my engagement's going to go down if I don't, you know, lead with the products. And so I've watched her account. I've watched her engagement continue to grow. I've watched all the different ways that she shared about the opportunity, and I've watched her success. She's a body partner and she's having incredible success in the company. So I would love to welcome to the podcast, Kelly. I'm so excited to have you here.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I have to say too, that this is very like a vision board moment for me, because I have listened to this podcast since before I was ever a body partner. I don't know how I found it. I just was looking for something inspiring. Women Inspiring Women came up. And so it was very like, you are a big part of my story and how I started, because I felt more confident in this opportunity because I had already listened to you on the podcast and I didn't realize you were a body partner. So
that is, that's really cool. Oh, I love that. I love that so much. All right. So I want you to tell everybody just a little bit about you. You know, how did you get started? How did you get into body, and just, you know, how your success path has gone so far?
Yeah. So I, like Melanie said, I'm Kelly Dutcher. I'm a wife, mom of two in Shawnee, Oklahoma. So pretty much the middle of America, if you're not sure where that is. I'm a personal trainer and I'm also a worship leader at my church, and I'm an online health and fitness coach. So how I got started was I was personal training. I was really blessed in my business, you know, thank goodness, but I was working for myself and that was great, but I had gotten really burnt out. And also I'm raising two kids. I'm, you know, taking care of a household. So it was a lot. And I decided that, well, in my mind, I was deciding that I needed to find a way to go more part-time, but I was still very much contributing to our family's finances. So I was like, how do I do that? You know, if I can't train people, how am I going to make money? And so I decided, okay, I probably need to get into the online space, which I hated the idea of that because I didn't want to be writing programs all the time. It just didn't sound fun to me. But I was like, that's what I have to do. That's my expertise, is in fitness. And so that's the path that I have to take. I hired a business coach. It was expensive. I didn't have the money. I did it anyway. And it worked for a little while and it did pay some bills, but it just wasn't fulfilling, to be honest. And around that time, I mean, this was in 2020. So COVID, you know, was going on and we couldn't go anywhere. And I was taking a walk with my mom. I always like to tell this story because it was like a big part of how this came about. But yeah. I was taking a walk with my mom at the park with my kids because we couldn't go anywhere else. We had to couldn't even like touch the park benches at the time. And I was just talking to her about how scared I was because it was literally my only option was to be online. And I just didn't feel like I was helping my clients as much as I could because I wasn't really fulfilled, really kind of scared in that moment. So just within a couple of weeks, a woman reached out to me on Instagram. I'd never seen her before, never, you know, talked to her, anything like that. But she said she had this online sisterhood of women that we help people and, you know, live life together and all the things. And I was like, cool, maybe this is like a Facebook group or something that I can join for other coaches. I had no idea what it was. I had never heard of the company that she worked with, never tried any of their workouts, no supplements or anything, but I was just very much looking for something. And I thought maybe this could be a way that I could add some more income. I got on, we had a team call, I think the day that I joined, which by the way, I joined within like 48 hours. She sent me a couple of emails and I was just like, yeah, I think I'm going to do it. It was really low, it was a low cost investment. And I didn't even like tell anyone. I was just like, yeah, I'm just going to try it.
Yeah.
And I got a team call like that night. And I just really felt like it was right. Like I really kind of caught the vision, like they say. Mm-hmm. And I just dove all in. I really did. That's kind of my personality, is I do like get a little bit obsessed with things, but I hit my first benchmark, like the kind of the big benchmark or bigger for newer people, like in 30 days. Always helped at least 3 women a month. Usually it's 5 or more, because I just made it non-negotiable. And this has always been a business for me. So I came in for the business, kind of stayed for the sisterhood and everything that came with it that I didn't even know that I needed. Yeah. But I'm 3.5 years in. June will be 4 years. And we hit the kind of like the top, I don't know what you call it, like the top part of the company, which we mm-hmm. call elite, last year, and ended top 50 out of hundreds of thousands. So it was a really, really great year. And it's been a, you know, felt like a long time coming, but it really has gone by so fast.
So cool. So a random stranger on the internet reached out to you and you had no idea that the company even existed until this point, which is crazy because people always say, oh, the market is saturated, or, you know, everybody knows. That's just a true testament to even now the company is over 15 years old and people still don't know about it. They don't know there's
And I was in fitness and I didn't know anything about it. That's what's crazy to me. So yeah, it is not saturated.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. Okay. So here you are, you're in the fitness industry, which also, you know, this is kind of a side note. Sometimes I feel like personal trainers kind of have an aversion to this, to network marketing or to online. Did you didn't have any of that coming in?
Well, I will say I was a little bit scared after I signed up that people might think I was like copping out, because I had written my own programs.
Okay.
And so I was like, oh, they're going to think I failed and just did this company instead. Mm-hmm. And so there was a little fear, but I will say I was very open-minded because I knew I had to do something. And so there was kind of a little bit of both. I was open-minded. I was still scared, but I definitely wasn't like hardened to the idea at all.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So did you come in at the beginning and go straight to building a team, or did you really focus on customers first? Like, what was sort of your approach as you started building your business?
So no, I didn't start building a team at first. In fact, I remember being on a team call. We have them every week. I heard my mentor say something about, you need 12 coaches, you know, underneath you to hit this certain goal. And I was like, oh, that's where I'm going to fail. Cause I've never been able to, I had done some other like network marketing companies just for like makeup and stuff.
Okay.
And really just kind of for fun, a little extra money, but I had never really had success with recruiting people. And so I was like, oh, there it is. That's what I'm going to have trouble with. Cause I know fitness and I can bring people in for that, but yeah. I'm going to have a hard time building a team. And so that was a really, like, it was a huge red light story in my journey that I had to get over. And then, so I started with clients for sure. As I learned, and as I just built some confidence, I started seeing some potential in some of my clients who came in that maybe they could, you know, start building the business too. And that kind of is how it started.
Okay. Okay. So you said red light story. Kind of tell mm-hmm. me about that. Like, tell me, what is a red light story? What was your story? And then how did you overcome that?
So red light story to me, I mean, and I'm not even exactly sure who that's from like originally, but for me, it's just like a limiting belief. And I didn't even know what a limiting belief was until like the beginning of 2020 when I hired my first business coach. I'm like, what is that? And so I'm still even very new, I feel like, to personal development. And now I do a lot of it. My biggest thing, like I came in and I just was very confident in that, again, I could bring people in for fitness, but I thought, oh no, I can't. I really thought I cannot bring people in. They're not going to want to join me because people just don't do that. It wasn't necessarily that I didn't think I was good enough or that it was a great opportunity. I just thought people don't want to do that. They think you're bugging them if you ask them if they want to sell your thing or whatever. And so it kept me from taking action on that. That's where I feel like red light comes from.
Yeah.
Because I believed that. I really thought, oh yeah, that's where I'm going to have problems. But you know, maybe I'll recruit clients and that'll be enough for me to build this business. But I quickly learned that if you want to build a significant business, you got to learn how to build a team. So that was something I had to really get over.
Okay. So was there like a moment, do you remember any specific moment where you said to yourself, I have to start building a team, like an aha moment where it just switched, where it sounded like you were kind of toying with it. Like, I know I need to do it. Customers are really comfortable for me. What was sort of that defining moment where you're like, I'm going all in, I'm going to start talking about the business more?
So, I mean, I feel like I always wanted to build a team, but I guess I was hoping that it would just like happen and that some clients would just turn into rock stars on my team and it would just be organic. And that just was not happening. I did have a couple of people who came in and I had someone hit their first goal in 10 days. Like she was my first rock star. And then I had another one who did really well too, but it seemed like they were all kind of quitting and because no one was really coming in for the business. And that's kind of where I realized there's a line between those who come in who want to do it because they want to inspire people and it's fun. And then it becomes kind of not fun when you're starting to like push for goals and do the not fun things behind the scenes. And, you know, then there's the people who come in and know this is a business and know it's going to be hard work. Like I already knew that. And I feel like those people sometimes get it a little bit more or get it faster.
Yeah.
So there was a moment, I can remember a couple of really specific moments. So between 2021 was an okay year. You know, I was still really new. I just joined in 2020, like in June. So by 2021, I was doing like, I did okay. But then by 2022, my mentor actually invited me to our annual leadership conference as her guest. Okay. And I was so excited. But I definitely felt, I was sitting in this room with all of these top coaches and top entrepreneurs, and I felt very small. I remember looking at, there was a top coach speaking, and she was talking about data. She talked about really looking at your business from an objective point of view, and that nothing is good or bad. It's just data. And so I took that to mean like, okay, so I was thinking about my business from 2021 to 2022. And it was exactly the same. I hit the exact same benchmark. I hadn't grown my team. I hadn't grown in rank, nothing. My income was pretty much the same, which is okay if that's like your goal, but I have huge, huge goals. So, you know, she said, it's just data. It's not bad. It doesn't mean you're not a good leader. You can't grow, but you need to take it for what it is. And so I realized that was the first thing, is I really felt like, you know, everything was happening to me. But then when I looked at the data, I'm like, well, it's not really anyone else's fault except for mine. I've just been doing the same things that I was doing in the beginning. And I, you know, we hear a lot like what got you here won't get you there. And in this case, that kind of was true because I did have to really level up. I couldn't just keep bringing in clients and expecting something major to happen. Yeah. So that was the number one aha moment was, and she also said, what is your number one goal at that same conference, same leader? What is your number one goal? And I wrote down, grow my team. Mm-hmm. And she said, everything that you do needs to basically point back to that goal. It should be aligned with that goal. Anything else, cut it. And my mentor always says, cut the fluff.
Yeah.
And so I was like, seeing all these things in my brain that I was doing that were not helping me build the team, which was my number one goal. And I was like, I need to just ditch all that other stuff and go all in on this idea and this goal of building my team, which I had been holding back from for fear and all these other things. But then there was a second moment. I have to talk about this one too, because this is where, so I left that leadership conference, like with the wheels turning, and I'd asked my mentor, but like, what if I start posting more about the business? And then no one wants to join me as a client because your marketing is like huge. Yeah. And she said, well, you know, I would rather you recruit three quality, you know, people to your team than have 10 clients who quit, you know, 1 to 3 months down the road. And because of my goals, you know, there's nothing wrong with recruiting clients, but because of my goals, she said, I would rather for your goals, you do that, maybe focus on a smaller number than try and bring in all these clients.
Right.
And that kind of gave me the permission to switch things up. And so then fast forward just a few months, it was March and we were on our rewards trip, and something about sitting at the pool, this is second rewards trip. This wasn't even the first one. So why it takes me so long to realize things, I'm not sure, but it just kind of really clicked. I was, you know, we're sitting at the pool, and if you've never been on a rewards trip with, you know, a company or, you know, with your job or whoever, it's just so much fun. You're sitting around, and especially in our you know, business, we're masterminding, and we're talking about just all the things that we're so passionate about and we're obsessed with. And we're like having cocktails and we're sitting by the pool and we're taking photos at the beach. And I'm like, something about it, like the third day we were there just really clicked for me. Like, people don't know this is out there. Like, it's not just about the vacation, but like everything that I was getting from those trips. It's not just vacation for me. It's, I come back like a taller leader every time. And that was really the pivot. When I came back, I started only posting about the business. I was like, you know what? People know I'm into fitness. They can see that I'm in shape. I've been working out for a long time now. I don't need to keep posting about them showing up for their fitness. They, you know, I'll still do a little bit of that. But I said, I have to show up as a business mentor now because people don't know that I'm a business mentor. And that was where I really needed to change things.
I love that. I love it. I love that you had that aha moment, which just, people have to get to events. I can't say enough about like going to events, whether it's a incentive trip or an annual conference or a leadership event. So often we make excuses. I don't want to leave my kids, or it's a lot of travel, or it's really expensive. But like, these are the aha moments that shifted your business incrementally forward in these significant ways, both for through events and being in the room with other people and listening to leaders. And I love that. I love that so much. So you had this aha moment where you're like, I need to start talking about the business more. So from that point forward, talk a little bit about your strategy to actually team building and recruiting. Like, walk us through what you do every single month. Like, give us just an overview of your flow, because I know that's what people are thinking. Okay, I resonate with what you're saying, but like, tell me how to do it.
So like I said, I came back from those couple of trips and I was like, okay, I need to really shift how I'm posting because I need to get in front of more people. I had invited, you know, I was inviting people to the opportunity. I was seeing people that were showing up. Maybe they're showing a clip of their workout on their stories. You know, I'm inviting them, saying, hey, I have this awesome thing. I was doing that, but I was not reaching enough people. And so I knew that my content definitely had to change. So I switched and I thought in my head, okay, 80% is going to be business focused. And then 20% will be, you know, other stuff, fitness or like relatable content, mom content, whatever. So then strategy from that point forward, my minimum goal became, well, at first I kind of started with, let's try to recruit one new person.
Okay.
Because let me tell you, I had recruited two whole people in the year 2022.
No way.
Two business partners. And I did, just because for, you know, no one else's fault but mine, but I had really just been focusing on just like the grind and bringing in my three new clients every month or my five new clients. And I just was not realizing how much of an impact building a team has, or the lack of a team will have on your long-term growth and everything. So I had to make a minimum goal, but now I'd say my minimum goal is always 3 to 5 new working partners a month. And these are not, you know, members to my team that are coming in for the discount. These are people who come to me and say, I want to learn how to build a business. I want to use my fitness to, you know, make income. So that, and then fun fact, January was actually my highest month. I recruited 11 new partners in 1 month.
Wow.
And
congrats.
Thank you. In all of 2023, I mean, I lost count at some point, but when I started realizing there was really a shift, you know, like I said, I had recruited two whole partners in all of 1 year, which is embarrassing. And then the next year, by mid-year, I had recruited almost 40 new members to my team. And, you know, not all of them stay, not all of them do amazing things, but to have that kind of a flow going and people really coming in and noticing that we have something awesome, that's really the key to, like, you know, you gain that momentum and it just starts to keep compounding. Like I said, posting 80% about the business is kind of what I have in my head. And sometimes that looks a little bit different. Sometimes it's 50%. Like, I'll do one business post and then one funny post, cause I like to throw in humor to my content, or it's like relatable mom or wife type content. But most of the time it's majority business. And honestly, that's what I really enjoy posting, is about the business. So that's not really hard for me. Also I started hosting monthly what some people might call sneak peek or masterclass or an info session on my own. So I had leaned into my uplines for a long time, and that was great. I was still, you know, inviting people to it, but there is a different level of ownership that comes from when you host your own and you're responsible if people show up and watch it or not. Mm-hmm. And I did this a few different ways. Like, I did it on Zoom sometimes, and then I created a Facebook group. And I ended up just starting to go live in there once a month, but I was hard marketing it. I wasn't just like popping in live randomly. I was really marketing it for 2 full weeks, you know, trying to get as many people into the group as possible so that I could just get in front of more people in like a private setting. And then, I mean, that's the easiest way to be able to follow up with people at that point. They're in a Facebook group. That's your people. So that was a real game changer for me too. And that's when my first like rock star, I would say, came on at the end of 2022, like literally 2 or 3 days before the end of the year.
Okay.
She came from my like, and mind you, just for anyone listening, that's like, I've done that and nobody shows up. I did it probably 4 times before I had anyone actually join from it. So
I love that. Yeah. That's so real.
Yes. You've got to just keep doing it because you're going to be probably bad at it for a little bit or not great. Or maybe you're stumbling or you're rambling or you go too long or there's not, you know, maybe just didn't get the right people in there. Yeah. It was about 4 times in, but I told myself, I was like, I'm going to do these every month until something changes. I just knew the compound effect. And I've heard you talk about that, Melanie. I'm just hearing like, pump the well. You just got to keep going. And that really does. It builds your confidence in how you talk about the business too. If you're showing up, you're on screen or, you know, wherever you do it and you have to talk about why your business is awesome, it's going to build your confidence. Yeah. So I started doing that every month, no matter what. And that changed a little bit last year. We were doing it, you know, differently, but, well, I really started to gain momentum. That was a non-negotiable for sure. Posts, there's always a call to action. Because what I see a lot of people where I feel like a lot of people make a little bit of a mistake, and I've done this before too, as you show, and I think, you know, leaders in different companies probably have said this too, but they're like, just show what you're doing, just like show the lifestyle. And, you know, you don't have to push it on people, just show the lifestyle. And that is very vague to me and it doesn't call people to take action. Mm-hmm. So I was showing at least once a week, even before this, I did talk about the business, but I was not talking about it boldly. I was showing what I call the fluffy stuff, the sisterhood and the trips and how happy I was, which is great. That could inspire some people, but it didn't. It didn't inspire anyone for me. Not really. Nobody was signing up. I think a lot of times we show up and we're like with our team photos and we're, you know, showing ourselves on rewards trips or whatever, but you're not asking people to take action. And therefore they're not, people are on social media to consume content. They're not really there looking for an opportunity most of the time. Right. So I think that was, I know for sure that was where I really had a big positive shift also. So before it became like the cool thing to do, I really didn't know that this was like the right thing to do, but I started asking people to comment below. And because I was like saying link in bio and things like that, people weren't doing it. They were never going to my link in bio.
Right.
And very small people opting into that part of my email list. And now that's actually the biggest part of my email list is for the partner opportunity or the business opportunity instead of the fitness side of it. And so I was like, I need to make it so easy for them to like get information that a kindergartner could do it. Mm-hmm. That was the thought process. And so I was like, I just need to have them drop a comment. I was like, maybe I should have them drop an emoji. I did that a couple of times and that wasn't like great.
Yeah.
So I started doing drop, you know, mentorship or drop business below. And then I feel like I said, I'd never even seen anyone really doing that except for recipes or things like that. But I didn't know that that was going to work at all. And that was when it really started to pick up. And I got my first 1 or 2 comments on a reel. And I remember picking up my phone and taking a screenshot and I sent it to some sister like coaches on our team. And I was like, someone commented. Oh my gosh. No one ever comments on here. That's what it took that like really kind of built me up to build my confidence was just 1 comment or 2 comments. I was like, okay, there are real people out there, real women out there who are looking for something like this. And that also inspired me to keep making content like that. So I think it's really important that you pay attention to what content is working and what's not, even if it's just a little bit higher views or a little bit more comments, 1 or 2 comments, play around with that and make more content like that, because that is how I really started this, like the snowball effect. And I just kept doing it, rinse, wash, and repeat. A little bit more strategy, but once someone comments on one of my reels, I send them info, like 1 or 2 emails. It's not a very extensive system, but it is a system and it works.
Yeah.
So they get 1 or 2 emails from me. Then I just follow up with them within 2 days, always. I feel like that's enough time, you know, in case maybe their kid was sick or maybe they got distracted or something, but 2 days, seems to be a good amount of time to give them to like look over the email, follow up with them, just say, hey, did you get the email? What did you think? Do you have any questions I can answer? And I, at that point, try to schedule a one-on-one with them. That was something that was really made a positive difference too, was not just DMing back and forth, but, you know, sometimes I can send voice messages and that works fine too, if I can't get them on the phone, but it's really fun to get on the phone with someone who you have things in common with and who like are interested in what you have for like 20 minutes and talk about, I don't even talk that much. I let them talk, but I just want to hear like what their goals are and then answer their questions. I think that's so fun. And that is really, I mean, I would say if I can talk to someone on the phone, 9 times out of 10, they're signing up. Because they just, we feel connected at that point.
So, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I love that. So a big part of it was paying attention, was sticking with it. Even when at first you were doing these Facebook groups and nobody was getting, and that is so, I feel that to my core, because my first business opportunity that I did, nobody showed up. And I was like, do I end the Zoom or do I just record it? And I remember recording it. I thought, okay, I'll send this out as a recording. I'll pretend like there's 100 people on there. And I think the second month I did it, it was my own team members that got on to listen. I think maybe one person's, but it's so true. And so much of this business is the compound effect. It is having that utmost belief that even if it starts small, it's going to snowball into something more. But really, you have to work on that confidence, like that internal muscle. And you work out the bugs in those months where people aren't really, they're kind of paying attention, but they're not really showing up live. So I love that. And just even committing to the content and committing to doing more business content. And it didn't work right away. Like you weren't getting a ton of comments. You had to really tweak it. So much of building your business is strategy. And what you said even before was understanding the data. You actually look at like your stats and your analytics and you pay attention. And I think sometimes that, you know, listeners, you might just be like, that didn't feel good or that post didn't do well, but why didn't it? Really looking into it to figure out what could I tweak and what could I change. So you just have such a good business sense about you, which I love. Like, I love that you have that strategy brain for ideas. I know that always is a big thing people say to me is like, I feel like I'm saying the same thing over and over. You know, how many different ways can you really talk about the business? You know, what do you do just for inspiration? How do you come up with all these different post ideas that you do? Because if you go follow Kelly's page, it's Kelly, K-E-L-L-I-E dot Dutcher, D-U-T-C-H-E-R. If you go follow her, I mean, every post basically is about the business. So how do you come up with these creative ideas?
Well, I will say I am a creative person. That helps. But I also believe that you can muster up that creativity. There are ways to like get it out of you. I think everyone is creative in some sense. I don't think that it's possible that someone's not creative at all. I, for one, it's kind of sounds silly, but it's, I really believe that it's key. So I am such a like music person. I mean, I sing and I've always loved music since I was a baby. So when I'm scrolling reels, I'm not looking to copy someone else's idea. I'm looking at the sound. So the sound that's tied, the audio that's tied to the reel. And that's where I get inspiration. And this might look different for other people, but I do think it could also work for a lot of people. Okay. I'm looking for a few specific things. I'm looking for a trending sound. So if it has the diagonal upwards arrow, that means it's trending. I click on it. If it has about less than at least 3,000 uses, that's kind of what I look for. Okay. Because if you use a sound that has 200,000 uses already, you're just getting lost in a sea of people. So I try to find the sounds that are, you know, trending, but they're still like newer. If you can find the ones that just have like a couple hundred uses, there's some gold in that. But I will scroll and look for those trending sounds. Something that I like, I really look for something that's upbeat and happy and bright. Like, you know, I don't do a lot of, you know, I know B-roll content is really popular right now. I do some of that. But really I like to dance around and point at things. That's just like what works for me and what I find joy in doing. And I think there is something in like doing something that brings you a little bit of joy because that sparks more creativity. So I'm looking for those sounds that spark something like, I'm like, oh, that's a good beat. Or you hear the beat drop a few times. I'm like, oh, I could be pointing at this, then pointing at that. Like I can kind of hear it in my head or see it in my head as I'm hearing the sound. And I just give myself like 5 to 10 minutes to find it. You know, if I'm planning out my content for the week, I'm finding like 5 of those sounds that I like. Okay. And then I can batch content or make the content later. At this point, it doesn't take me very long to make a reel. So I can do them just like, you know, an hour before I know I need to post. I just kind of throw it together then, because it is very repetitive. I will say I don't worry too much about that, because that is, and I really got this inspiration from TikTok. I don't really post much on TikTok, but I do. I've always loved it since it came out. I've just thought that it's so fun to scroll through TikToks.
Yeah.
And notice the people who are really successful on TikTok, they're very repetitive. Get ready with me while I go here. Get ready with me while I go here. I lost 50 pounds. Here's how I did it. It's over and over and over again. And that was something that I really noticed over on TikTok that I thought, I bet that's going to work on Instagram too, because Instagram is a little bit behind where it picks up on things a little bit after TikTok. So I started saying, you know what, I'm just going to say kind of, you know, my message is pretty much always the same. I do have a different sound and I might point at things a little bit differently, but I am okay with being repetitive, because I'm like, not everyone is going to see every single one of my posts. They're not going to go scroll through all my posts most of the time. They might see one out of the last, you know, however many I did. So I need to be putting it out there as much as possible. That's kind of where I think a lot of people miss it, is that they think they're posting about the business once a week and they're like, I am posting about the business. Well, no one saw that post, because they don't see your content every day.
Yeah.
So it's important to know that it's okay to be repetitive. Mm-hmm. But I like to be as direct as possible with my posts and really grab people's attention. So if you hear a sound that like grabs your attention, then it's probably going to grab your audience's attention too. And I know people do things very differently, where they might have a slower page or their content is more serious and maybe darker. And that's, you know, you got to find what works for you. But I was looking for those sounds that grab my attention, because it's probably going to be the same that will grab my audience's too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so smart to pay attention to. I love that you batch your content and really kind of like take the time to scroll. Yeah, go through. I know. Sometimes we do it on the cusp, but just to pay attention to what you like, and just some really good nuggets in there too. One of the things that you said before was you used to post about the business and you used to kind of do the fluff and like the sisterhood and here we are, but it really wasn't a strong call to action. I kind of want to just, let's talk about that in stories a little bit. Just, you know, what do you feel like have been the most effective, I guess it could be posts or stories, that you've done that have gotten people to say yes?
So with stories, again, I've realized that I need to be direct and talk about the real side of the business. I will say something that I've talked about in my stories, and I don't throw out numbers of what I'm making weekly or anything like that. Like, you will see some on the internet right now. I don't do that because it's just, I don't know. I just don't really like it.
Style. Yeah.
Right. But I will say I'm very like, I get really passionate when I talk about how more women need to know, more people need to know, because anyone can join, you know, any business, that there is real income being deposited into your bank account. For us, it's every Thursday. And I'm like, you know, sometimes I take that for granted because I've been doing it for so long now and it's just a part of my income. It just helps pay our bills and we're just doing it. It's just part of it. But I'm like, you know, I was a single mom at one point and I'm like, and this was a huge moment. I was talking with my corporate mentor before my business really took a turn in the right direction. And I was really, I had this, again, like a red light story. Like, I don't know that anyone's going to want to join me because I haven't built a 6-figure business. So how can I be like so confident about what I have if I don't know how to, you know, mentor someone like that?
Yeah.
He said, well, you know, could you mentor someone to earn a couple hundred dollars or $500? And I was like, yeah, definitely. I mean, for sure. And she's like, that's what most people want. They're not really even looking for a 6-figure opportunity. Yeah, that would be great. I mean, who wouldn't turn that down, or who would turn that down?
Right.
But that was something that really shifted in me. So I started talking about that in my stories, that there's real income here. And like I said, when I was single, $100 a month would have changed my life to make it where I could buy something besides Little Caesar's pizza or go on a girl's trip maybe for the weekend. Really being direct in my stories and talking about that there's an opportunity and that also they can do it too. I was kind of doing that before, wasn't having a lot of luck with it. I think the more, again, the more confident that you get and the more you work that muscle, it starts to really speak to more people. So yeah, I would say definitely in stories, it's mostly that. Oh, also when we were on that rewards trip, I really started noticing how people pay attention to that too, you traveling. And maybe that was because it was post 2020 and like people were starting to travel again. But that's something that brought in several members to my team, was because I didn't just show me at the beach. I was talking about why I was at the beach, how I got there, how they could do it too. Because again, sometimes we miss those pieces. Like we talk about, I earned this trip, and they're like, yay, that's great for you. And then they just scroll on past.
Right.
It's very look at me. And I know we never mean to post look at me content, but we do sometimes because we're not giving them, again, a call to action or a reason to spark that thought of maybe I could do that. Maybe I could earn that trip.
I literally made an Instagram story about like putting together a guide for our collective about how to use incentive trips to build your business. And I literally just did that. I took an image of, and I'm like, don't just look at me and say, good for you. I want you to actually say like, why not me? Like, let's have a conversation about how you could be here on the beach with us next year. Like comment a word below, like things like that. You just nailed it. It's like, sure, show that you're there, but take it one step further and say, come on, I want, you can do this too. Like, let me show you how to do it.
Yeah, definitely. That was huge.
I love that. I feel like this has been such a valuable conversation about just positioning yourself as a business mentor. And I love what you said about, I felt like my biggest block was, or one of the blocks was, I wasn't making six figures. And I know that resonates with people, but if people can just like really hear what Kelly said, can you help somebody make an extra $500? Absolutely. Think about it that way. And I always say it is selfish to withhold something that you love so much from the world. Go unapologetically share it, because you just never know who is watching or happens to just stumble upon your page. And by you being vulnerable and courageous, by talking about the opportunity, not only can you find some amazing, incredible business builders, but you could change the trajectory of their life because of your courageous action. And so sometimes we have to take ourselves out of the picture and say, it's not just so much about me. It's about how can I pass this on to other people and let them feel the benefits of being able to have some more flexibility and freedom, both financially and with our time too, you know? So you're not really tied to serving clients like you were in the gym in the past, which is super cool.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Is there anything else, any other advice that we didn't cover today, things that you want to share with the listeners?
And something that I kind of had to really repeat to myself a lot is you have to be bold, and also you kind of have to be loud when it comes to your social media. And because again, we're trying to reach people. I know it's not all about social media. It's about the connections and the conversations and everything, but when you're trying to reach more people, you've got to be loud, because social media is loud right now. It kind of always has been, but especially right now, there's a lot of stuff out there that's distracting people. And so that's why I'm trying to grab people's attention. It's not a gimmick. It's not like clickbait. It's so that I can bring them in and talk to them about, like you said, this is life-changing. When I was single, this would have completely changed my life, and it has changed my life. And so I think about that when I'm getting nervous, or when I worry so much about my views, or is this like cringy or whatever? I'm like, I have to be loud, because I've got to reach that woman who is where I was before. So that's the first thing. And then I would say, don't be afraid to share that you actually make an income from your business, not just the community, because I will say for me, and I know other people too, I was not looking for community because I didn't know that I needed that. I was looking for an income opportunity, and I got the community, which is what really has built me as a person, but the income opportunity is what brought me in. So I think it's just important to make sure that you aren't just posting the fluffy stuff, that you're showing that there is an income opportunity and that they can do it too. And then also something that one of my business mentors in the company said one time when we were on like a mastermind call, her name's Kim Fitzpatrick, but she said, I think her words exactly were, you have got to, if you're not at your goal yet, it was a small group type mentorship, and we were getting kind of down to the wire, or like halfway through the year last year.
Yeah.
And not many of us had hit our goals yet. And she was like, if you're not at your goal yet, if you're not doing the things to get you to your goal, you need to become a different person immediately. You have to become the person who's doing those things. And it was very like, it was a go moment for me that I think really, you know, threw us into the end of the year and really, you know, projected us to do everything that we wanted to do. So she always says, be her now. And that really has stuck with me too. Like I've had to kind of almost, I hate to say fake it till you make it, but I had to believe that I was I have it on my vision board. I have for the last 2 years, it says top recruiter, because I have to be that person, even if I don't feel like it, even if I'm not really yet based on the stats, mm-hmm. I have to be her right now, because that's what will get me to my goal. So step into that confidence before you're even there. It's kind of a fake it till you make it, but honestly, it's just stepping into who you're meant to be just a little bit early.
Yeah, it is. There's a leap of faith that is required, and there has to be this belief that even if I don't have the skill set right now, I can figure it out. And I am willing to do the work to learn. I'm willing to do the work that I know I need to do, because at the end of the day, you don't want to look back and be mad at yourself or disappointed that you didn't go after something that you wanted so badly. And it is a mindset. It is a constant filling your mind with podcasts, with books, and surrounding yourself with the right circle of people and people that are not playing small, people that are going places. Like, you just show up differently when you are surrounded by women who have big goals and are crushing them. And so I'm sure that that's a huge part. I mean, your upline is super successful, has had, you know, an amazing business year last year, and that trickles down. So you're now leading that way for your organization and your team, because it's being modeled for you. And so as business leaders, as network marketers, we have to stand up and be courageous in what is possible. And it's not just for the people that got in early or the people that got lucky or have a certain amount of following. Like, you did it, and you're a true testament that here in 2024, you can still build a really successful network marketing business. Like, this is still a viable opportunity. And I love that. I love what you've built. It's such an inspiration.
Thank you so much. I definitely had that story kind of in my head, like, gosh, I wish I would have done this 9 years ago. I wish somebody would have told me about it 9 years ago. And of course, I still wish that. But you just have to be willing to stick with it and really, you know, like we talked about earlier, be coachable and also coach yourself. If something's not working, be willing to change it, and then stick with the things that will work over time, and just put in your time. Cause you can absolutely be successful, but you have to, I always say, I'll be the last woman standing. You know, in my own head, I'm the last person standing. So I'm never going to quit, never going to give up on it, because I know what I want. So.
So cool. All right. So where can people find you if they want to hang out with you or learn more about what you do? Where can they connect?
Definitely on Instagram. That's where I thrive. That's where I love to connect with people. So it's, like Melanie said, at Kelly, KELLIE dot Dutcher, DUTCHER. And that's the best place. That's where you can always find me in my stories.
I love it. So go follow her. I'll link her account in the show notes. You can check her out. And honestly, you guys, as you're listening to this episode, take a screenshot, tag the two of us, let us know what your biggest takeaways are. I know I always love to hear from podcast listeners what their aha moments were, or how a podcast episode has impacted them in a positive way and has pushed them towards their goals. So don't be afraid to share, and definitely let Kelly know what your takeaways were too, because I'm sure she's going to love to hear more about it. So friends, thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Again, it's been so inspiring to just hear stories like Kelly's of people that are just crushing it in recruiting, to know that you can do it too. All right, we'll see you back here for another episode of the Women Inspiring Women podcast.